Amen. So I want to continue this morning with a series that we've been in called Battle Ready. And today we're going to be talking about prayer and praying like a warrior, spirit-led prayer in battle. So prayer is not just something to support the fight. It's not like last week we talked about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. We're still in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to move to verses 18 through 20 and talk about prayer. But if you would just picture, like, in your mind, a bunch of gears that work together. You know, you spin the big gear at the bottom and it turns all of the other gears. So if battle ready and if the armor of God is like those gears, prayer is all of the oil that allows those gears to move fluidly, right? So prayer isn't just an add-on. Prayer is like the position. Prayer is part of the fight. It isn't a backup plan. It's your battle position. And I think what makes, and we'll talk a little bit further today about prayer, but I think what makes it difficult for some, is it's an invitation to intimacy. It's an invitation to surrender. It's an invitation to give up ground that is yours in your autonomy, to give that ground up to the Lord in a relationship. So our armor isn't enough. It must be activated through prayer. And the thing about prayer isn't just tactical. Talking about the armor of God, helmet, shield, sword, your shoes, loins girded with truth, breastplate of righteousness, those are tactical items, being ready. We've talked about being left, the left side of bang last week. Bang meaning the impact event. Bang meaning the event that is negative. An explosion is bang. To be left side of bang is to be prepared for what's to come. Prayer keeps us left side of bang. We learned last week that was some language that was created for these combat hunters in the early 90s, created this terminology, left side of bang. And so we kind of adopted it, or I have, in terms of being prepared in ministry. But if I could be vulnerable with you, I want to be honest and share with you, prayer is not something that really I would have said or say about myself that I'm good at. Meaning, it's a discipline for me. There's days, lots of days, at times I don't get up and hit my devotions. I'm what you would call more of a spontaneous person. I'm not habituated. I don't have these locked and loaded disciplines that I don't change every single day. I wish I could say that I do that. But I don't want you to hear that I don't know how to pray. I do. I know how to connect with Jesus. I know he's the source of my life, and I include him in every decision I can. And when I blow it, I repent, just like you. Yeah. But it's something that I've had to work towards, and it's something that I've had to absolutely build. And I know I'm not alone in this concept of praying and just being consistent in praying. And for those of you who are rocked, locked, and loaded and pray consistently, man, I want to hang with you a little more often. Right? But life's busy, things are tough, and I want to present to you today really four things that communicate what prayer builds into us and what we deal with in regards to prayer. But the main point today, and this thesis point, is this: the battle-ready believer isn't just armed. They're vulnerable and intimate before God. I think it's such a key point to note in your mind here. Vulnerable and intimate before God. Prayer is how we connect with God as Father. Trust him in the fight and allow him to strengthen us in battle. Prayer is how we fight, and prayer is how we heal. So this morning, I want to communicate to you these four things. So these four keys are this. As we pray, it exposes our filters. And if you were here last week, you would have understood what I mean by that. Our sometimes many of us have these what's called false father filters. We have authority that has been in our life from young life growing up, and we've been formed by particular authority figures in our life. Could be a school teacher, could be a parent. It's often a parent. For me, it was a absent father syndrome, but it could be a school teacher, it could be a pastor, a priest, somebody, a military general in your life or some kind of soldier, something in your life that has really shaped you and caused you to see through this particular filter. Oftentimes, some of that's negative. The second thing is prayer helps us to deal with or respond to jealousy. Helps us respond to this concept of jealousy. God is a jealous God. And he doesn't want anything ahead of him in our lives. So we have these habits, thoughts, things, ideas that we often can put ahead of God. God's jealous. The third thing I want to talk about is a daily posture. Prayer is not just a backup plan. Like I said, it's not just this emergency. We pull a ripcord when we're in trouble, although that's effective at times, right? But it's a daily posture. And the fourth and final thought I'm going to want to communicate is it's culture. As we begin to do this, as we begin to connect with God in prayer, we build a culture. Culture is king. Picture a snowball going down a hill. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's like culture. It'll grow. And culture helps us to become compatible and fight for compatibility. Unity. We know where we're going. We know what we're connecting with, and we know why. That's what culture does for us. So consider this right here. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. And it goes like this. At the tail end of armor of God discussion of last week, he starts in verse 18, and he says this, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Have an others focus while you're centered in prayer. And then, third thing, pray on my behalf that the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So really simply, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time breaking all of that down, but I want you to pull three things from those verses. The first thing is you personally. He's calling you to spend time in prayer. He uses the phrase all of the time. But I want to make it simple for you today. I want to make it absolutely simple that praying all the time simply means this, I believe, is there so much to pray about. He's saying there's nothing, you're never going to be without something to pray about. Spend time in prayer before the Lord for yourself. Be connecting with the Father, being vulnerable and surrendering issues of your own life to the Father. Then pray for your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your family. And then the third thing he says, then pray for a witness. When he says pray for me, Paul, he's talking about obviously himself in that moment. But for you and I, Paul's not present. So what does that mean? What does that translate to? Is that you would have a bold witness and that you would be able to communicate Christ boldly and clearly as you move. So those three things. Pray that you would be able to speak effectively about Jesus and not intimidated, not shy, but clear and practical. Pray for others and spend time personally with the Lord. Those are the three things there. And when we do that, this first point here, prayer exposes our filters and intimacy requires trust. I have this picture in mind, if like a fishing illustration. I enjoy fishing. I don't get to do it enough. And when I do it, I don't catch enough fish. But nevertheless, something about it that I just want to go back again. There's this concept of loading and unloading. When somebody casts the rod, you know, you pull back. That the weight on that line and the sinker and the fly or whatever you're throwing goes back and that pole cocks and it loads. It loads all of the energy, it loads all of the weight, and then it gives you the opportunity to pitch it way out there really far, right? And that is unloading the rod and loading the rod. So this concept in 1 Peter 5:7 gives us a picture, and it says this: cast all your cares on the Lord. Simply put, cast all your cares on the Lord. I don't believe that we're meant to carry things that harm us, that have negative effect on us. But oftentimes, we don't know how to unload the rod. You track in? So I believe prayer and this discussion of prayer in regards to being battle ready is learning how to unload the rod, learning how to cast off all of these things. So filters. Prayer exposes our filters. So many of us struggle with prayer because we put it into the category of a methodology, or we put it into the category of discipline only. But I want to implore you today. I want to challenge you today. I want to call you today to this reality that prayer is a relationship. It's simply learning to connect. But there's things in the way of our connection. And simply, last week we talked about what's called a false father filter. And I don't want to limit it to father for you. I want to put more of a terminology in there's authority figures. Mother, father, doctor, teacher, priest, whatever. People that have formed you, and you begin to see God the Father through that filter. Are you tracking with me? Look at this next slide right here. I believe there's 7 filters. So you got this guy with binoculars looking through a filter. So I'm sure there's others, but 7 filters we face. What are filters? They're emotional, mental, and spiritual lenses that we look through. What are some of them? The father filter. My earthly father was angry, absent, or abusive, so I assume that's the way God is. So I don't relate. Performance filter. God only hears me when I'm doing everything right. I pray enough. I act right. I speak right. I go to church on time, and I'm there every week. Right, Suki? She is. But you're loved beyond that. Right? That's not where you get your identity from. Your church attendance. Jesus loves you. Just who you are. Performance filter. You're not here to check a box. My hope and goal is that you would fall in love with Jesus, and I would step out of the way, and you would see him, not me. That's my objective. I'm just some short white dude that's trying to communicate a point. I want you to see Jesus, but I'm a terrible example. He's way better. So, 3, wound filter. I've been hurt, so I've built walls. Not trust. Disappointment filter. I've prayed and nothing changed, so why bother? Man, these things are real. Sorry if you're getting punched in the throat right now. Religious filter. Prayer is about using the right words or sounding spiritual. So if I don't know the Bible, or if I've not been in church very often, I can't hang out and I can't perform properly, so I'm not really connected because I can't be religious. And if I could say so, religion makes me sick. And I don't know if you understand what I mean by that. I'm not trying to be curt or crass, but when I say religion, I'm just talking rules. I'm talking laws with no life. When we talk about coming to church at Lifehouse, I want you to go, man, I want that to be an oasis, whether you'd ever come back or not. You come back annually, weekly, whatever, it's fine. But I want you to remember this. When I go there, I get to drink from a well. When I go there, I get to encounter the Spirit of God. Not just the Word of God, but the Word and the Spirit. That's what I want to do. I want to be practical. I want to be powerful. I want to be just a servant in terms of the Lord, so you can see the kingdom of God and not me, and not a bunch of mere rules. You tracking with me? So you can be impacted and changed and affected. That's what I want to see happen. I want to see transformation by the Holy Spirit. And it, no matter how good my sermons are, which some say they aren't sometimes, but nevertheless, I'm kidding. Nobody's told me that yet. Please don't. It'll bring up that wound filter again. Shame filter. I've messed up too much. God doesn't want to hear from me. I can't tell you how many times I've failed. And I'm like, God, are you serious? You're still not going to leave me? I'm just going to repent again. I've repented 1,000 times over this issue. No joke. Whatever the issue is, I've got several of them. I keep blowing it. I repent in the morning and I blow it in the afternoon. You know what I mean? Growing up is, adulting was hard for me. It took me a while to adult, right? And I'm still trying to figure it out. And my motto is this, you've probably heard me say it many times, I want to grow up before I grow old. So that's my target. I want to grow up before I grow old. Finally, seventh here is control filter. I'll pray, but I need to keep control. I don't want to lose it. I want to make sure all my ducks are in a row. I want to be the one in charge of my own life. These filters really, they get exposed. These are the things in our rod that's loaded. These are the things that the Lord's saying is, cast your cares on me. Unload the rod, but we don't know how. We carry this stuff. We walk around with a loaded rod, and we're not able to get rid of it because we don't know how to unload the rod. But when we cast our cares on the Lord, he cleanses that father filter, that those filters of whatever they are, whatever examples, whatever's hindering us and building idols in our life. Romans 8:15, I love this verse, but it says, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. I want to release to you, and I want to encourage you to put in your radar somewhere, put in your mind somewhere, put in your understanding somewhere, this concept of the Father's love. If I could just give it to you, and you would have that, not like I have it fully and fully owned, but what I do have, I wish I could just set it in you that the Father loves you, sweetheart. He absolutely adores you and has a plan for your life. God's love is incredible. If we would learn how to receive it, it would change everything. Yes. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. But the Father's love. He's given us a spirit at salvation that our spirit cries out to the Spirit of God, Abba, Father, which means daddy. He's a real father. There's no filter. If we can get a hold of that and begin to get freed up from these father filters, we'll begin to grow, mature. But as we do, what happens? We run into these things that God is jealous over. We put things in front of him. Point number two, prayer will give us and allow us to respond to a jealous God. God's desires are for all of us. He's not passive. He's jealous for your affection. He's jealous for your attention. And he's jealous for your presence. He wants to hang out with you. He doesn't want you just to follow a bunch of rules and fit into the crowd at church on Sunday and look like everybody with a little smiley face and the perfect clothing and the right attitude and all of that. And then you go out dying inside because you weren't transparent, you weren't real, and your needs didn't get met at the altar. You tracking with me? It's about a connection with Jesus Christ. It's about finding God and the reality of the Spirit and learning how to do that. We've got to get through these father filters. In order to do that, we need to spend time with a God who loves us. He's a jealous God. He wants everything. So when we pray, we're not trying to just impress him. We want him to possess us. We're not trying just to impress. We want him to possess us with his love, with his presence, with his power. And the reason why prayer sometimes is hard is because it requires intimacy and it requires surrender. And oftentimes, those are the very things that we're just not comfortable with. We don't know how to get there because there's layers of stuff. Like, like Shrek, man. We're like an onion, right? We just, it's just, there's so many layers. You tracking with me, aren't you? There's so many layers, right? That was free. You know, sometimes I'm funny. Sometimes I'm not. You can make the decision on your own. God doesn't want us to share with idols. He doesn't want us to share with distractions. And he doesn't want us to share with false comforts. What competes for your heart? If you just like run inventory of your life, what's going on? And I say heart, I'm talking about like these passions, these affections, these things. What competes for your heart? What does God have to compete with inside of you? What do you run to first when the heat's on? Maybe you run to the Father, and God bless you for that, because that's where you draw close, and that's where he begins to build. But what is it? What are you asking God for? What are you not asking God for that you need? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Prayer really, this whole concept is like, what the question I want to ask is, what keeps us from consistency? And there's all kinds of applications to prayer, but what keeps us from being just consistent and consistently being vulnerable and giving the Lord our hearts? But prayer really, I want to communicate this third point here. Prayer isn't just a once a week check-in. It's a daily draw. Like this story, consider this. I love this. It's built off of a principle in Old Testament. But there was a rich man who had a son, and he promised this man an inheritance. He promised his son an inheritance. And every year, he would give him a portion of that inheritance, give him some money. At the end of every year, the son would come and get that piece and get that chunk of money or whatever. And that as time went on, he began to only see his son at that interaction. Son would show up and get his piece, and he wouldn't see his son again for another year. So it disappointed the father. So he began to change up a little bit. So he divided the inheritance and began to give the son a piece every day. Give him his daily amount. Just broken it up. So he began to see the son every day now. His son began to show up for his inheritance daily. I think like the story of God and manna in the Old Testament, they were only allowed to pick enough manna that would provide for the day. God wants to call us to this. He wants to, it's his attitude. He wants to have a daily interaction. It's not just this religious discipline or this duty of boundedness in our life. He wants to meet with you. Prayer is what calls us to be battle ready. He wants to build relationship with you, wants to bring you in and get you through. What is it? What are you facing? What are you struggling with? Insecurity, maybe? Addictions, maybe? What is it? Loneliness, maybe? Whatever. Inability to communicate your heart. You're locked up. What is it? Father wants to help you be able to walk through that. Again, the objective is to grow up before you grow old, right? Let's adult, even if you're 60. Let's start adulting, right? Have you ever met an older person who was really immature? Isn't that weird? Didn't you think, like, as you grow up, you got mature? You'd think, assume that should happen, right? You look mature. Something's broke down inside. You don't get maturity on accident. You know that. You don't drift into maturity. You don't drift into stop raging. You don't drift into control issues. You don't drift out of hurt. You won't drift out of disappointment. You won't drift out of shame. All of that requires you to engage the Father on a regular basis. On a regular basis. So, really, like me, you may know how to pray for others in the hospital, marketplace, that sort of thing. So last night, my wife and I, we went to see some of Brenda's old friends in Chandler. We don't get to see them, but about every 6-8 months, and it's an absolute hoot. These folks are just just funny. We had a, they're all quirky. We ate at Elmer's Tacos in the barrio somewhere, and you know, somewhere off in Chandler. But it was just an absolute blast. Had a hoot of a time. And the guy, Kevin, it's Kevin and Janet and another guy named Doug. So that was fun too. You didn't know which Doug they were talking to. But Kevin and Janet, Kevin, about, it's been 6 months, maybe 7 months, a year. Kevin got cancer, was diagnosed with cancer. They went in and took pictures of the cancer. And he said it was about as the size of an oddly shaped orange or a baseball. Not as thick, but it was a tumor, and it was growing on the outside of his bladder. And saw it, images of it, and it, he said his language last night was, we looked at the screen, jaws dropped, and like it popped out of the screen, you can see this cancer. So Kevin, as I interviewed him last night, I'm asking him, Kevin's not a guy who proclaims his faith all the time, and he's pretty quiet guy. He's the kind of guy, if there's any domestic violence, he's an officer of the law. He'll go in and remove people physically, and he's a big dude, man. Dante, he's massive, and he can carry every bit of it. Super intimidating, and he acts like it too. But so he's not this mushy, gushy guy, but he believed that the Lord wanted to heal him. He went forward for prayer, got prayer, and felt something. Nothing objective, but he just felt like something happened. That night, he went home, and not to be too disgusting, but he spent a lot of time in the bathroom relieving himself repeatedly, all night long. And he had this thought, like, I think I just let loose of this thing. And it was this weird concept, but went back to the doctor, and they're like, yeah, it's, what do they call it? A spontaneous remission. That's what they called it. And he's like, let's look at the pictures, though. It was here, and it's not. I didn't have radiation yet. I didn't do anything yet, but they tried to convince him that he still had it. I met with this guy last night. I mean, absolutely incredible, and he's like, something happened. They prayed for me, and then something was discharged from my body, and I no longer have this cancer. I'm sitting there. I'm asking him all kinds of questions, like, bro, like, did you feel it come on you? Did you have faith that just showed up? What happened? How could you describe what you can describe? I'm not questioning the supernatural, but I want to know because I want to do it to others. I want to figure it out, and I want to be able to see other people do it. As a matter of fact, Elva and Val, they invited us to the hospital just a few months ago, huh, Damien? Me and Damien and Andy, wherever Andrew is, we all went to the hospital to pray for Noemi, who had an overdose, and she became totally incapacitated. Doctors, neurologists, and family members said, you know, pull the plug. Let her go. She's not going to make it. She's going to die. And you should just accept that. Elva and another aunt said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to pray for her. And Elva started requesting prayer from us. So we went there one night at the hospital, prayed with Elva, her aunt, me and Damien and Andy, laid hands on Noemi, anointed her with oil. And we asked God for two things specifically. One, that her tongue, the swelling would go down. And two, that she would begin to react to verbal commands with either hand motions, head motions, some new kind of development. Since then, get this, she's no longer at the hospital. She's in a recovery area. Her tongue, the swelling left just in a couple of days. She began to react with thumbs up. She began to react with eye movement, turning her head, and reacting and responding to people. She's not out of the woods, but something significantly changed when we prayed for her. So when we talk about prayer, we're talking about dealing with our own heart, right? Getting through stuff. We're talking about moving obstacles that God would be jealous over because he loves you and wants you. We're talking about having a daily discipline, a regular connection with the Father, and all of that produces what we call point number four, a culture of prayer. a culture of prayer. We want to connect with God and build a culture. And what happens with a culture, like we're saying, is like a snowball. It begins to move. So when we come up forward for prayer, and when we respond, like to messages or something, it's literally, we want the presence of God, and we believe that God can heal. We don't want to overreact or over-spiritualize or say things happen that are not really happening. We don't fake it until we make it. We want to be absolutely real because we believe in the authority of Jesus Christ. And we know he does it. And when he doesn't do it, we just have to get closer and find out what's happening. You tracking with me? I can't tell you, just a little sidebar. So many people say, oh, well, I've prayed for them and they didn't get healed, so it must be their faith. Something wrong. They've got sin in their life. They've got this issue. And they immediately put the responsibility on the person receiving prayer. And don't get me wrong, sometimes that can be. Sometimes healing is a complex situation that requires a complex solution, right? It requires things. Sometimes there is sin that needs to be repented of. And sometimes there is a lack of faith. But the thing is, the bottom line is this. Jesus does what he wants to do. And we want to position ourselves to hear him. We want to position ourselves, and we surely want to ask him to bring healing. Amen. We want the power of God, and we believe it's real, and we believe it's for us today. And another thing I want to communicate is this, is that we're seeing an uptick of healing. We're hearing testimony in this house that's real. People are in the room right now that can testify if this is really happening. Yes. It's because we're showing up, Stan, and we're praying for people. We're reading about it. We're learning about it. We're inviting God. We're responding to the Holy Spirit because he's real. So it's not just about power, but it's about connection. It's about building relationship with the Holy Spirit and being a word and a spirit people. So we walk in the Spirit and we know the word of God. And we don't fake it. We don't just ad lib and say things. We want to learn. I believe healing is so much about learning, and it's so much about getting to the root of issues, like father filters, like jealousy issues. All of that stuff counts. One last story. A number of years ago, Brenda and I, we were just talking about this last night on the way home from Chandler. I had a friend who had cancer, and we prayed for her for a long time. She was in our lives for over a year. She had a young family at a previous church I was at. And her cancer was in remission, and then it came back, and she had two little girls, and she was so devastated because the cancer's back, and we're praying for her, and they had marriage trouble. And so they invited us to the hospital one night where she was being treated, and she's super ill, and she's asking me, Doug, can you pray for me and pray for healing? And absolutely, I'm going to pray for you. But as I'm beginning to pray, the Lord just began to remind me of there is legit unforgiveness between her and her husband. They're in a fight, and she's focused on getting healed, and they're not dealing with stuff. So I said, I humbly asked, I'd like to pray for you, but I'd like to call you and your husband to repent. Ask forgiveness for each other. And I said, I'm not saying that this is going to heal you, but I am saying it's surely not going to mess it up. So let's just deal with what we know, right? She got absolutely offended and kicked me out of the hospital room. And that was the last night I saw her. And she died since then. I'm not saying anything that I'm not saying. So don't read into that. I'm just communicating. We want to be realistic and practical. Sometimes God will heal beyond issues that we have. I've seen it. I've experienced it myself. But we don't want to deny what's right in front of us. If there's a lack of obedience in our life, if there's unforgiveness in our life, if there's addictions in our life, let's not just assume that Jesus is just going to come, especially if we're fully aware of these things. God's real, and he wants to get to the heart of things, surrender and intimacy. He wants to deal with who we really are because we got to grow up before we grow old, right? Heart work is hard work, but it's the right work, right? hard work is hard work, but it's the right work if we want to get to a place of growing up. Do you got issues in your heart? You got things you're kind of like, I just don't want to deal with it right now. I want to drink it away. I want to smoke it away. I want to sex it away. I want to do whatever. I want to just find some place to numb out. Then I want to encourage you, allow the Father's love to penetrate your filters. Allow the Father's love to come and touch you in a way that brings reality and cause you to come closer to Jesus. Can we stand? We want to build a kingdom culture that equips believers to live spirit-filled lives. We want to build a culture that encourages those who are broken, weary, struggling, to find encouragement. And we want to experience the presence of God every Sunday. It's quite practical. It's not a show. It's not about me. It's not about our team. It's about Jesus showing up. We just want to be able to get out of the way so he can come. Because when he comes, that's where the good stuff happens, is when he shows up. So I just want to pray right now and ask that the Lord would just reveal to you anything that keeps you from growth, anything that keeps you from intimacy, anything that keeps you from going the next step on. If you're here and you're aware of some stumbling points in your life, I'd like to ask you to be brave, be bold, respond by moving out of your seat, coming forward, raising your hand, something. I'd like to pray for you. If you're here today and you've got any physical problems in your body that you'd like prayer, our team, and you know who you are, our team would love to be part of that and pray for you. So we're just going to worship for a minute here. As we're worshiping, I just want you to ask the question, Lord, what do you want me? What do you want from me today? What do you want to do with me today? What do you have for me today? And just be real. And let the Spirit speak to you. So, Father, I ask that you would come and you would answer those questions for every person that's asking those questions today. Holy Spirit, that you would pour out a real encounter with you today. That this message of prayer is not about laying more weight and more religious burden on people, but a call to connection, a call to intimacy, and a call to surrender. So come, Lord, and just begin to speak to us today.
With your heart and me.